I think a lot of us like to collect things that remind us of a favorite sporting or entertainment event. I know I had a whole collection of baseball cards when I was a kid, Warren Spahn and Lou Burdette and all those famous baseball players from the Milwaukee Braves. And maybe you have a collection of your own and wonder whether or not that collection is valuable. Well, I tell you what, we'll be talking about that today. Maybe we can help you figure out what a favorite collectible is worth. In the studio with me today is Shirley Bauman. She is a certified personal property appraiser. She's been with us many times. She's a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. And Shirley, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's very good to be back.
And we have a friend of Shirley's on the phone. And if you're a fan of Antiques Roadshow, her name may be familiar. Lila Dunbar, she is one of the country's leading appraisers in sports, entertainment, and pop culture memorabilia. And Lee, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, happy to be there in spirit. Absolutely.
Well, as you listen to these two experts talk, you may have an antique or collectible you'd like to know some more about. I hope you'll call us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, you can post a follow up there if you want and a question. Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show. So we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Shirley, I'll start with you and then go to Lee. When it comes to sports memorabilia here in Wisconsin, Packers items have to be pretty high on the list.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Packers from, you know, the glory years, the 60s on to today, are very collectible. And, you know, of course, the Hall of Famers are always the big names that people look for, and they bring the bigger prices. And that's not all there are that's collectible. Of course, we got Milwaukee Brewers, Braves, and Bucks as well.
Yeah, there's some Bucks probably from their world champion day. I wish I had a basketball signed by Kareem Jabbar I suddenly blanked on Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson, yeah. Those were the big days for the Bucks.
Now, Lee, you have been fortunate enough to preside over auctions of some pretty well-known people. Wilt Chamberlain, I know, Katharine Hepburn, Johnny Cash, Les Paul. Les, of course, a favorite son of Wisconsin. What was it like to auction off memorabilia like that?
Well, you know, Larry, it's always exciting because, you know, in our line of work with Shirley and I, you just never know who you're going to meet or what you're going to look at. No matter how long you've been doing this, you never get jaded. I think that's because you never know what can be around the corner. It's even with the Antiques Roadshow, you know, coming to town in Green Bay, we assume we're going to get a lot of Packers memorabilia, but we have no idea what other great pieces may come in, whether it's the 57 or 58 World Series with the great Warren Spahn, Lou Burdette, you know, Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews teams, or Kareem from 71 with that great championship with the Bucks. I believe it was 71. I think just came out of UCLA. Or any of the Packers. And it could be, you know, from the Curly Lambeau period, you know, of the 30s and early 40s up through that championship in 44. And even the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers related memorabilia from the 90s and the 2000s is worth money. So it's always exciting. You just never know. And that's what I think is the great surprise in doing celebrity and sports memorabilia, is that the intrinsic value of all these items is really $2.98.
Yeah.
The real value at the end of the day is based on the historical importance of the athlete or the event. So that's why game used items bring so much money. The rarity, again, why game used items bring so much money. It's the historical importance. It's that, but it's also the emotional connection. So, you know, for Packers fans, there's no deeper emotional connection than that to their team. And that's why that brings people out. but you never can predict. You can't quantify until the end of the day the emotion or passion that you get when you sell Johnny Cash's boots, you know, that he wore on stage of the Grand Ole Opry, or one of Katharine Hepburn's artworks, or, you know, even Cher's jewelry. You just never know.
Yeah. Well, I love golf, and I know you've got some items from Jack Nicklaus that are going to be coming up for auction soon. For me, that would be a lot of fun to participate in. What's coming up in that?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know, Larry. You got to tell me, because Nicklaus actually donated the vast majority of his entire archive and collection to his foundation in the 90s. And if you go to Columbus, Ohio, at Ohio State, you can go to the museum there and see it up close and personal. So I'd be fascinated to find out what's coming up. And Nicklaus, what I'm finding is that with the passing of Arnold Palmer last September, that there are numerous pieces. And again, Palmer has, you know, he was well known as a great hoarder, and he had most of his own items, including, you know, his trophies and awards, clubs, so forth and so on. But there have been a few things that have come out of the woodwork, like his 64 Masters putter, which sold at Heritage recently for almost $100,000, and a pair of shoes that were attributed to him at, I believe, his first Masters. You know, he won in 58, 60, 62, and 64, so it's one of them. And those sold for nearly $50,000, or I even think a little bit more. So the great golfers, you know, the interesting thing about golf memorabilia, Larry, is that for years what people sought after, what they wanted, were long-nosed clubs from Scotland that were handmade by the great old golfers like old Tom Morris, which has become very relevant with the Tom Morris movie, Young Tommy, that came out just a couple weeks ago. But today, those have fallen out of favor. The market is half of what it was 10 or 15 years ago. And what people want in golf are exactly what you were just talking about. They want items that are related to their favorite and greatest golfers, like Palmer and Nicklaus, and going back the days of Bobby Jones, Sam Snead. Sam Snead's estate sold Heritage about 2 or 3 years ago, and that has the record for a golfer's single owner collection, $3.3 million.
Oh man. Well, Shirley, from your mind, what's kind of hot in sports memorabilia right now here in Wisconsin?
Well, like we said before, it's always the Packers, and I think Bart Starr is probably still up there with a lot of the other favorites. And Lee, I don't know, maybe you can help me here. Bart is getting up in years, and his health is not really good. What happens with a celebrity and their memorabilia after they pass on?
Well, Shirley, you know, it all depends. In terms of value, if someone like a Bart Starr, his memorabilia, and I know it's sort of morbid that we're even talking about things like this.
Exactly. I don't mean to be disrespectful.
No, but it's a reality in celebrity memorabilia. For someone of the star status, no pun intended, of Bart, you know, it doesn't matter whether you sold his memorabilia today or after he passed away, because the fervor, to me, is equal in that regard. However, what does increase in value once a celebrity passes away is their autograph, because what happens is that their autograph goes from an infinite amount, because, you know, you can sign, you know, theoretically forever while you're alive, to a finite amount, because once you pass away, because there are no more of those signatures that are going to come out, there's a finite amount. So I've seen it, for instance, with Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, and Mickey Mantle, who passed away in the late 90s, early 2000s, and overnight, their signatures went from, say, $100 to $150 on a signed baseball to $300 to $500. And they've pretty much stayed in that three $300 to $500 or $600 range for single sign baseball since then. Now, interestingly enough, just an aside on this, if you add something to those single sign baseballs, like a, if they, they have what's called a stat ball, where Mickey Mantle might write Triple Crown from 1956 or three-time MVP, that type of thing, it goes up in value. And if they write Happy Birthday on it, it could double or triple, or Happy Hanukkah could be 5 or 10 times the amount.
Wow.
So it's a crazy business.
It is crazy. And the important thing is to make sure that it's a genuine signature, to have that authenticated.
Well, absolutely.
And we've had some issues recently with the New York Giants football team.
which is very surprising, Larry, frankly. When you consider what football players make, it's hard to even figure why anyone, especially someone like an Eli Manning, would try to do that. So the jury is still out on that. I'm sure at some point we'll find out what the actual story is.
Yeah. Well, lots of callers online. Let's go to Mark in Boulder, Wisconsin. Mark, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I have an Andy Pascal autographed baseball.
Okay.
It's in pretty good condition. What do you think it's worth?
Andy Pascal.
Oh, Andy Pascal, the great left fielder for the Brooklyn Dodgers, who also played for another.
Played for Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think that was after, if I recall correctly, he was the left fielder there when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world. Well, you know, here's the thing about Pasco. He's well-loved by a number of constituencies because he played for different teams. He's not a Hall of Famer, and he's one of those guys that signed. You know, it's interesting. Signatures have the signatures that have the most value are the ones that were signed by players, and again, don't mean to be morbid here, but the ones that generally passed away before the 19 eras of signing shows, where players would get paid to go in and sign. And Pascoe, if I recall correctly, was one of those Dodgers alumni and Braves as well, that went out and did signing in the 80s and 90s. So Pasco not being a Hall of Famer, if you have a single sign baseball by him today and it's in really good condition, today I'd say it's probably between around, depending on condition, between $50 and $100.
Okay, there we go. Well, we've got Mike in Wisconsin Rapids next. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
I've got three different Coca-Cola items from the past that I've restored, and I was just wondering if she might have an idea of what it might be worth.
So some Coke items that you've had restored?
Yeah, yep, I restored them. The first item is it's a Coke machine from the late 50s. It's a Cavalier CS-72. It's the kind with the windows when you used to pay for a dime.
Yeah.
A dime, and you'd be able to pop the soda out. The second one is a cooler from the 40s, and they both have been restored, repainted, redecaled to the original state. And the third one is it's kind of weird. I dated it to the 20s. It's like a frame that was painted gold that had a Coca-Cola emblem on the bottom that they would put cardboard inserts. That would be about, it's about 2.5 feet wide by long by about a foot and a half wide.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break for the news. We'll let our experts think about that, and we'll be back right after the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking about collectibles today, sports entertainment, and pop culture memorabilia is what we're sort of zeroing in on, entertainment as well, with our two guests for today. Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser and a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She also owns Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. And a friend of Shirley's with us as well, Lee Dunbar, who is one of the country's leading appraisers in sports, entertainment, and pop culture memorabilia. She was one of the first appraisers on Antiques Roadshow, worked as director of collectibles at Sotheby's, and owns Lee Dunbar Appraisers and Appraisals and Consulting, LLC. So if you have a piece of entertainment or sports memorabilia you'd like to know some more about, call in. The number is 1-800-642-1234. And we had Mike on from Wisconsin Rapids, Shirley and Lee, as we were breaking for news, who's got a Coke machine, a Coke cooler, and another Coke sign, I believe, that were he sort of reconditioned or restored, let's put it that way. Shirley, first, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Coca-Cola is one of those products that's perennially popular. The collectibles have gone for a lot of money for a long time. The first thing that I thought of is, too bad they don't have the original finish. Now, that's what we like to see. However, if they were all rusty and dirty and they couldn't be cleaned up to look good, the restoration would be the next best thing. In my experience, the Coke coolers around here go around, depending on conditions, $75, $100, so right around there. The Coke machines can go for a lot more. I've seen them going from $5 to $8 to $1,200. Advertising is hot. You've got an advertising frame, which they put the cardboard advertising in. I can't really tell you the value of it because I can't quite picture it in my head. But, again, that's going to have some good value because it's Coke and it's advertising.
Yeah. All right. Lee, you pretty much agree with that?
I'm pretty much on board with Shirley. In my experience, it depends. We're looking at a 40s cooler. It depends whether we're talking the portable ones. If it's the portable ones and not one of the rare ones that they have from the airlines or Junior, Shirley and
right.
I right on the money. If it's one of the coolers that they call the giant coolers, like almost an ice box, then those can go for more money because they're a lot rarer, even restored anywhere, depending on the quality of the restoration, between $500 and probably $1,500. But that's for the giant one, not the portable ones that Shirley was just talking about. On the 50s vending machine, you know, as Shirley mentioned, with machines, there's much more of a tolerance in the marketplace for restored items because no one wants to look at in their basement a machine with peeling paint and, you know, something that looks junky.
Yeah.
And the market, again, on the 50s ones can be anywhere between $500 and $1,500. If you go backwards to the 40s, for the rarer ones, they can sell, you know, several thousand dollars. And the frame, I remember those frames very well because we sold a lot of cardboard Coca-Cola signs, and it's rare that you get the frame being restored. You know, you put the right piece of cardboard in it, cardboard sign, it can be anywhere between an added, you know, $100 to several hundred dollars.
There we go. Gino in Combined Locks has something for us next. Hi, Gino. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, I have two baseballs from the Murder Row. My father got them when the Yankees were playing in Chicago and Babe Ruth hit a home run outside into the parking lot.
Yep.
And he picked up the ball and got them inside the stadium. And Babe Ruth signed where the bat mark was, and Luke Garrett signed on the other side, who he had hit in. And then the other ball, he got down into the dugout, and a bunch of coaches and players and whoever was in the dugout at the time stole. And I was wondering.
So those are from 19.
And where I could maybe sell them if I wanted to.
1927 or so then.
Yeah, the one ball does have the date of the game. It was like, anyways, it was in 1927, the date of the game.
Okay.
Both game balls.
Well, Lee, let's start with you.
Well, my question, you have two balls. One has Gehrig and Ruth on it, and it was a game ball that dated, correct?
Yes.
I think that one might not be dated.
Oh.
I think the one with the coaches is dated.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you have one ball with Ruth and Gehrig that's not dated, but with their signatures, and you have one ball you said that has the Yankee coaches on it?
It's got Hoyt and all the coaches, Dutch. It's got about 10 players on that ball. There were anybody that was in the dugout. There were a lot of all-stars on it.
Okay.
But no Ruth and Gehrig on that ball?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you've got one that may be an infield single and another that could be a grand slam. The first ball, let's talk about the one that's dated, but with the players in the dugout, without seeing exactly the players on it, but knowing it's not Ruth and Gehrig, it could be anywhere from several hundred dollars into the low thousands. It just depends what the numbers, signatures, who they're of, and the quality and condition. Now, for instance, if you had their manager at the time, who was Miller Huggins, who died tragically in 1929, that's an extremely rare signature. Yeah. The other ones from the team of that era, your Hall of Famers are going to be Bill Dickey and Tony Lazzeri. And then you've got other players that were little known at the time, but did make contributions. That low hundreds into the low thousands, depending. It could sell at auction. Now, the Ruth and Gehrig, that's a really rare combination, and it's only Ruth and Gehrig on there, right? No other players?
Correct. And Ruth signed where the bat mark hit the ball, and Higgins was on the other one.
Well, that's good. If Huggins is on there, that definitely adds value to it. Now, ironically, with collectors, they look for single-signed baseballs because, again, they present better than team-signed for the most part. And the balls that bring the most money are Hall of Famers who passed away before the signing era. And the one that's most sought after is Ruth, and the second one that's most sought after is Gehrig because he passed away of ALS, now known as Lou Gehrig's disease, in 1941. So anything with those two together, and if it's from 27, that's a fantastic ball. Depending, again, on the condition of those signatures, I've got to tell you, it's anywhere between several thousand dollars and many thousand dollars. Five to 50. That's the spread, depending on the quality and condition of the signatures in the ball. I'd have to see it. But that's a fantastic baseball. That's just about as good as it gets.
And where does Gino try and sell something like this?
Well, that's an excellent question. There are a number of very good auction houses that are out there that specialize in sports memorabilia. I don't buy and sell myself, but another appraiser I've worked with for years on the road show, Mike Gutierrez, he does consignments for heritage auctions and has been very successful there. In fact, Lou Gehrig's estate sold through Heritage in 2012, including his 1934 Tour of Japan jersey, which brought $500,000. So I think Heritage would be a very good potential there. But, I think surely you would take that ball, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Just like to mention, Heritage Auctions is headquartered in Dallas. And you can look them up on the internet. They're a very, very popular auction house.
There you go. Well, you've got a good find there, Gino. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Matt in La Crosse, it's your turn. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I have some photographs of Marilyn Monroe, and let me set this up a little bit. My wife and I are divorced, and she sort of left these with me, and we have an amicable relationship, so I'm not trying to rip her off. And what I'd like to do is use these, to help pay for college for my son. What happened is her grandfather was in the Korean War, and he was at the concert that Marilyn Monroe attended, and he had one of these little brown box cameras, and when Marilyn Monroe was heading towards the stage, she passed right in front of him, and he snapped a picture of her So it's a unique photo. No one's ever seen it. And it's just crystal clear. You can see the mascara on her eyelashes. I mean, it's that right on. And I guess my question is, you know, how do you proceed with something like this? And I'm also wondering, you know, is she so copyrighted that you can't do anything with her image anyway? Because if you try to do something with it, her estate or whoever owns her copyright will be like, you know, nope, it's ours, you know?
Yeah. Shirley, start with you.
Right. Well, items fresh to the market are often really sought after by collectors, things that haven't passed through hands and been sold before. And I don't think that since this was a photo taken by an individual that you have a copyright problem. Value-wise, I'm not sure. Marilyn, of course, is one of the really highly collected celebrities. Value-wise, Lee, you've probably had more experience than that with her than I have.
Well, I was just thinking about this, Shirley. Here's the thing, and by the way, I've got to think that the experience that your father had taking the photo of Marilyn, that has got to be priceless. To have Marilyn Monroe walk in front of you, that's got to be almost life-changing. But in regard to her collectability, she is the number one collected Hollywood celebrity. Even though she passed away in 62, it's actually a large part of that. You know, one of the appeals for people in collecting is that you have these movie stars who pass away tragically at a young age, like Marilyn or James Dean in particular, and their memorabilia is extremely sought after. But her charisma has transcended for over 50 years. What you should do is go to juliensauctions.com, J-U-L-I-E-N-S, because Darren's firm, which has been out in L.A. for years, has sold an enormous amount of private Monroe photos, and they generally sell, if I recall correctly, and it depends on the particular image and the particular size of the image, if it's original, obviously, and you know where it was, which, you know, that concert is very famous because that's the one where she went over with Joe DiMaggio. He was playing in Japan. She left him to go perform in Korea. She came back to Joe, and she said, Joe, you've never heard such loud crowds before and cheering. And he said, well, yes, I have.
So there you go, Matt.
Which you knew is the beginning of the end. So, Matt, I would say low hundreds could be higher than that. But check out Julian's.
All right. Thanks, Matt, for calling. And Bob and Parks Mills, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I don't have anything that's quite as spectacular as Babe Ruth on a baseball, but I do have a full intact ticket from the last Green Bay Packers game that was ever played at Milwaukee's County Stadium in 1994, and that ticket is signed by Brett Favre across the face of the ticket with his signature and his appears to be his uniform number 4. And so I'm just, it's something that's very sentimental because I was at the game and saw him dive into the end zone to win the game. And so I probably wouldn't ever sell it, but just kind of curious what it might be worth.
No. Shirley?
Well, I want Lee to respond to that, but I do want to mention, you may not realize that, Milwaukee County Stadium was the baseball stadium for the older Braves and the Brewers when they started. And the Packers used to play there, a couple times a year to kind of spread things around. They do not do that anymore. And he's saying this was the last game played there, and that was in, of course, Milwaukee. So now they're only in Green Bay.
Yeah. And so, Lee, what do you think about it, the value of something like that?
Well, is that intact? It's a full ticket. Someone didn't get to go to the game, unfortunately.
No. I don't know why I was at the game, but it's. I guess when I say it's intact, it's not torn in half. There are perforations, so there maybe was a tear off piece that went with it. So But it has the seat number and, you know, the game, the price, which, by the way, is alarmingly low by today's standards. Even in 94, it's $30. Which
$30.
Probably would get you a beer and a hot dog now.
Yeah.
So whether, you know, there may have been something, you know, that was torn off entering the game, I'm not really sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be conservative then, just assuming that's probably what we consider to be a ticket stub. And I'm also guessing that you're probably not the only one who kept it from 94. But you may be one of the few that has a Favre signed ticket, which is very smart. How did you get the ticket signed by him, by the way?
A friend of mine worked security at the Bradley Center back in the 90s. This was before Brett's ascendancy to absolute greatness. He was on the rise, and he was doing an appearance, believe it or not, at a Milwaukee Admirals game. My friend smartly brought the tickets and was able to ask him to sign both mine and my friend's ticket from that game.
Very nice. I would think an auction estimate on it would probably be $100 to $200, something like that.
Yeah. Shirley's nodding agreement.
Yep. That would be my thought.
It might go for just a little bit more in the Wisconsin market, considering that was the last game in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But overall, I agree.
Yeah. All right. There you go, Bob. Thank you so much. Bill in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. So I have a deck of Can-Am playing cards, and the Ace of Hearts is signed by Muhammad Ali.
Oh. How'd you get that, Bill?
So a good friend of mine was in the film business, and he was in Poland, and on his flight home, Muhammad Ali was on the same flight, and my friend John, who knew that I was a huge Muhammad Ali fan, was brave enough to go up and ask him to sign the Ace of Hearts, and he gave me that deck of cards.
Oh. So, Lee, what do you think?
Well, I think that's close to a royal flush. That's pretty darn good. You know, like a lot of the celebrities we've talked about, Ali's signature is hugely sought after. Having only passed away, I believe it was either last year or the year before, he signed an enormous amount over the time. And for instance, a signed glove from him generally will sell at auction between $500 and $700. Items that are signed by him as Cassius Clay, which was, of course, his former name, before he took his Islam name, sell for usually double or triple. But I would say, you know, having such an unusual item, I'd probably put an auction estimate on that of $300 to $500. And depending, again, on how great the signature is and whether you have, you know, someone who likes Texas Hold'em, you know, it could go for more.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And John in Wausau, your turn. Hi, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What have you got for us?
Well, I've got a situation, actually. My father used to do Beatle album covers, and the thing I want to ask about is we have a Paul McCartney press proof from an inner spread of the Ram album that my father did a press proof to and did all the color separations to.
Yep.
And Paul McCartney wrote the typesetting instructions on the inner spread. You know, Ram by Paul and Linda McCartney, all this stuff. Christie's wanted it. I sent it to Christie's in London. And basically, they have a relationship with Paul. And apparently, well, not even apparently, but in actuality, Paul blocked the auction and said that he is the legal owner of this piece. And the reality of it is that when this kind of stuff is done with a job, it stays with the job. And when my father died, I inherited it, and I'm wondering if, and they wound up sending it back to me from London, I'm wondering if I'm going to have a problem ever
selling it. Yeah. What do you think, Lee?
Oh, that's dicey. Been down that road before. When I was at Sotheby's, as a matter of fact, there was a Grammy award that came in that had been given to the Beatles, but had been awarded to their lawyer. Their lawyer picked it up at the time. I want to say it was Lee Eastman, which is Paul's father-in-law, but I can't at the time, but I can't remember for sure whether it came to him or another one of their lawyers, so I'm not positive. But it was, that sale was blocked before it ever came to fruition. Interestingly enough, though, there have been sales of other major pieces, including lyrics and guitars, that have come up for sale. So given the fact that it's a press proof and it was your father's work and it came to you, I'm a little surprised. I would think that what you could do is try, you could talk to one of the entertainment sales in the U.S., which, again, you can go to Julian's. You can find Darren Julian's information online. And you can go to Heritage as well. They also have an entertainment department. They both have legal departments, and they've both been, anyone who's had an auction house and dealt with sports and entertainment memorabilia has to deal with legal issues, because they're just inevitable given the subject matter. And that's what I would call.
All right. That sounds like a plan to me. Boy, Lee and Shirley, this time has flown by. I wish we had more time to. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Happy to do that.
Oh, Lee, thank you so much. Lee Dunbar, one of our guests today, one of the first appraisers on Antiques Roadshow, works as director of collectibles, or head, at Sotheby's, and owns Lee Dunbar Appraisals and Consulting. Shirley Bauman, certified personal appraiser, owns Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisals and Estate Services. And we have links on our Facebook page. Thank you both, and thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store.